From American Public Media, this is an APM documentary, Standing in Two Worlds, Native American College Diaries. I'm Naveen Ez. Let's jump back into Archie Yellow's story. The COVID pandemic shut down the tribal casino where he had been working. So Archie decides to try college again. Archie washed out of community college when he tried it a decade before. This time, he enrolls at a tribal college. There are more than 30 tribal colleges across the country. Indian students who start out at a tribal college have a much better chance of finishing than if they go to a mainstream college right out of high school. Archie signed on.
I always wanted to go back to school, and I always knew if I went back to school, I was going to go back to school at Fond du Lac.
I'm Josh from Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College. I'm the admissions officer. We have American Indian Studies.
First off, it was my resident school, so I had that going for it.
I think it's important to pick up all that we can from our past.
We want you to be who you want to be, and we'll do the best we can to help you see
our that. Tribal flags are all hanging. Everywhere you go, like in there's like Native artwork laying around. So when you walk in there, it feels nice. I knew right away I wanted to go for Native American Studies. I knew if I learned my language and my culture, that would just like open up mad doors. It would just, you know, put me down the right path. What day was it yesterday? Anin ga itchigizigak bajinago. Anin ga. If I just like got in tune with my culture, got in tune with my language, learned it right. What is today? Anin ajigizigak nungam. Being a teacher would be like my way to atone. I lived a horrible life. I did horrible things, and that's the whole thing I'm trying to do, like with this schooling and like becoming a teacher and heal my community for all the like damage and like destruction I've done my whole life. We've been out to the res. Place where I grew up, my grandma's house, they call it East Pine. This turns into res right here. Look at how messed up it is. See how that's all paved? That's there's white people stuff, then boom, here we are right here, man. This is res and it turns into a dirt road. Yeah. But yeah, that used to be a blueberry fields. Right here is where I used to stay. Right here, Teal Drive. Right there, my grandma's house. When I think of education and like when I look at my honor roll and little certificates and stuff, I think of her, how that would make her feel. I feel like she's still watching over me because, man, I've had so many close calls and and this is a crazy blessing that I'm here, you know, doing this and I'm here going to school. Shoot, man, I'm defying mad odds, you know. Look, I mean, I'm supposed to be here with all these guys on the res, walking around, no life or no goals. That was me, man. I had nothing. Drinking every day, you know? I saw that all the time. That's a major, like, you know what I'm saying, disease in our culture and our community. My dads and my grandpas were, you know what I'm saying, drunks, and that's all I saw was partying, you know? And then like, I slowly saw it like trying to swallow my life and trying to swallow me. I can't wait to be a teacher here though. So I could teach the youngins and teach the older ones. I want to be the old wise native. You know, I want to be that guy. Even though I'm not wise right now, you know. When I become super dope with all this and get acquainted with this, I want to go down to the cities and start getting them guys, because those are the ones that are really lost. And man, I remember down there, I just always felt hopeless and lost, like no one was going to come save me. I had no role models, you know, and there was no one I could look up to. There was no one there. I just hope that I can be that guy and become some hope for these kids out here. But yeah. So Anton Choi is an Ojibwe professor at Bemidji State University. He's also been like a huge like language warrior in the Ojibwe community.
When they asked me to come and do a TED Talk, nobody said anything about using a foreign language like English. In fact,
after like we read his book, like I just started reading all his stuff online and started like watching all his YouTubes.
And I'm speaking to you in Ojibwe, one of nearly 200 tribal languages still spoken in the United States, that somehow mine is the one that often ends up being thought of as foreign.
This is someone like I look up to, someone I look towards becoming. The main goal and dream of mine is to go to Bemidji State so I can go learn under Mr. Troyer and take his classes. I haven't had much practice with the whole interviewing people, but I'm mad excited.
Hey there.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Hey. How's it going?
It's going good. Well, come on in. Welcome. I kind of feel like I got one foot in a wigwam still and one sitting here in an ivory tower, but I really like living at home, you know?
Yeah. Man, since like I've started going to school, like my whole life got like revived. Mm-hmm. And like I turned a whole new page. I was wondering, like, is it even worth it? You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Is this all effort going to be, like, you know what I'm saying, like, destroyed at the end because, like, of what I did in the past?
Well, there's no way to purge all the, like, negativity from the world. But what you can do is create a center for yourself, starting with your body, you know, your community, your circle, the people around you. And if you feel that full of light, love, and good things, then it pushes all that darkness out. It might be swirling around the edges. It'll be out in the world, but it doesn't have to be running your world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we talk about the body, like ni yao, my body, and it's kind of like a cup. You know, it's temporary housing for our soul. And when you fill your cup up with good stuff, it pushes all the bad stuff out.
Yeah.
Every time you're learning a new word, a new song, a new whatever, you're filling it up with the good stuff and it's pushing that bad stuff out. So it's hard to cure the whole dang world of all its ills and substance abuse and everything else, but you can recenter your own space and it'll make all the difference.
I'm in college learning my language and culture, and it's like, man, you know, it's just something I'm like proud to tell people. And what we thought going to school was like, you know what I'm saying, was like getting whitewashed and like losing your culture, losing who you were. That's how I remember like feeling like how school was, why I never like felt like I succeeded at it. Being good in school meant like you're trying to be an apple, like you're trying to be like red on outside but white on the inside, so you're trying to be somebody else. It just wasn't like what we represented as like we thought being Native was.
One of the things about colonization is that it's about taking one language, culture, religion, and using it to supplant all the other ones. And that's what education is. We're still doing colonization. We are still assimilating, colonizing, and indoctrinating people into that. And as a Native person, especially like a brown-skinned Native person, like you will never be accepted as a white person. You will still be like hyper-visible, racially profiled, you know, mistrusted, downtrodden, less safe. Like when they go to school, whiteness is the operating norm. 2% of the world's population is blonde, but like 90% of the beauty icons are blonde. We're told to worship that, you know? Like, it's weird. But when we get a chance to learn about ourselves, when it's okay being me in my body and then embrace and love who we are as Anishinaabe, then, you know, we'll truly succeed. And I don't mean just succeed in terms of like getting a paper or credential. I mean succeed in having our best chance at a long, healthy, happy life.
Man, he was more like down to earth than I thought. It was very easy talking to him. And like how he talked about like, yo, if you just fill your circle right, everything will be right. Yeah, he really like, you know, same reminded me that like, yeah, if I like build this up right, I don't think nothing can come by and knock it down. I just gotta like believe in myself and believe in my work.
It's crazy how far I've come with this and how far I'm going with this. Gave the gang life at least 10 years of my life. So I figured, what if I gave schooling, higher education, my language and my culture, what if I gave them 10 years of my life? Where would I go? What would happen? My success at college is finally rubbing off on everyone else here, and like my two siblings are grad, three siblings actually. I forgot my brother Dennis is getting his GED, and he's like one test away from getting it. I think he has to do his math, which I'm helping him. My sister signed up for Fond du Lac school. I can't believe how happy that makes me. My brother George, who I thought he was never gonna go to school, and now he's finishing school and planning on going to college too. Man, I tell my son all the time, like, yo, boy, I'm doing something big, yo, trying to make things happen for us, something to, for you to be proud of. Like, man, I just can't wait for that day to just say to my son, like, yo, your dad's a teacher. Man, those are stuff to think about.
That was Archie Yellow. He's a student at Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College in Cloquet, Minnesota. You're listening to Standing in Two Worlds, Native American College Diaries from APM. I'm Neve Nez, and now it's time to hear my story. When I'm out running, I think a lot about my childhood. I spent a lot of time outside, and like any kind of typical res kid, I was always outside. Our parents encouraged us to be anywhere but indoors. And then eventually my mom would make us go running with her, and we would run as a family. At first I was not really about it. I thought it was hard. Like it definitely is something hard. And I think being a kid, like, you don't want to be forced to run, like, you'd rather go play. But it was nice to have that pressure from my mom, and I think that's the biggest thing I think about when I'm going running. And I remember my mom always asked us, like, who are you running for today? Like, who needs more strength today? And Hopi, you're running for other people. You're making sure that you're keeping someone in mind. Running is a healing force, and I want to be able to tie healing that is present within our culture and apply that to my work as a doctor. My dream is to become an orthopedic surgeon in sports medicine and work with Native athletes around the nation. Okay, let's see. I'm just going to start by introducing myself. Nat Josh Mesian Hopi Matua, Pionat Navenez and Paham Matua, Nahanangwangwa, Nat Hovela Epkipta, Nat Flagstaff Epbukipta, Nat University of Minnesota Rochester Epitukai, Itanga Manaka Pulling Yamaya Matua, but Itana Fernanda Nezia Matua, Itana Wapakias and Nawangwa, Tapa Umumi Pahan Noktanani. Hello, my name is Neve Nez. My Hopi name is Josh Macy, which actually means Bluebird Girl. I am Badger Clan, born for the Towering House people from the village of Holt Vela on Third Mesa in northeastern Arizona on the Hopi Reservation. And I'm currently a third year at the University of Minnesota Rochester. Honestly, I didn't even want to be a doctor. I didn't know what it took to be a doctor. I didn't even consider medical school. I thought medical school was beyond people like myself. In all honesty, I had no idea how to even get there. That just seemed very much not for myself or anybody like myself. My mom worked in office and like human resource at the time. My dad's been a fence builder since my sister was born. Science, all of it was very new to me. STEM was very new to me. I remember being in middle school taking a high school biology class and being so amazed with mitosis and meiosis, and looking at them under microscopes, I just could not believe I was looking at something that was inside of you and what happened inside of you every single day. I realized that I really loved hands-on activity, and I did a lot of basic laboratory work. I did pipetting. I
made agar plates. I was able to grow bacteria. I was just doing all sorts of stuff that, honestly, like, I didn't even know people did that. Going into how I got to where I am, I actually have a friend, and her name is Tulsi, and her brother was actually working towards going to medical school. And I told her, I was like, that sounds pretty cool, but I don't think I could ever do that. And she's like, Neve, she was like, you're the perfect person to be a doctor. Why stick to, like, being an athletic trainer? Why won't you be something beyond that? And she's like, and you're Native American. And she's like, do you know how many Native physicians are in the program? She's like, none. So I went home and I was like, what does it take to be a doctor? I searched it on the internet. I did my research and later found out that less than 1% of the American physicians are Native American or identify as Native American. And I was like, this makes so much sense, because personally, I have never, I repeat, never met a Native doctor. So for me, I was like, this is crazy. Like, there needs to be more Native doctors. As far as moving to Minnesota, my uncle, the one that played basketball.
My name is Pete Nez.
He was the person that I talked to a lot about. He was very much a father figure for me.
I moved away in 2002 from Arizona. You guys were so young. You know, like, I remember going to college when always stopping by to see you girls before I had left, because you guys were like my kids. You're my nieces. But I see you as my own daughters also. And when you had first mentioned about coming down to Minnesota or to going to school, you know, I was very supportive and tried to offer or tell you about some schools that had tuition waivers and stuff like that.
And then one day I got an email from the University of Minnesota Rochester asking if I'd like to share my application for free. I did so. I didn't know where Rochester was. I had no idea what the school was all about. I just knew it was a new school, and it was next to the Mayo Clinic, and they only had 2 degrees to choose from, which is health sciences or health professions. And I told my uncle about it, and he told me, he's like, oh, I've heard about that school.
I felt that if you stayed anywhere closer to home, it was so easy to give up. And that was one of my things about going to college, was that I had to leave, or else I would have got stuck. So that was like the easiest decision for me, and I'm glad you made your decision of coming over too.
I remember telling my family when I was deciding to go to Minnesota that a lot of them didn't think that I could actually do it, and that a lot of them believe that I was going to lose myself. And not saying I agree with them, but I also was scared of that. And I think that's why I've made it a priority to remember who I am and continue to embrace my identity. I'd always try my best to return back to Arizona to be a part of different ceremonies. I was very much unaware of what diverse meant in the sense of Minnesota, because diverse for me back home was extensive. My graduating class was 350 students, and 100 of those students were Native American. Probably another 100 were of Hispanic descent, and the rest were white. So it was very much even playing field, and I always seen someone like myself all the time. And when I came here, it was like, I'm sure I'm going to meet so many Native students. But when I got here, that was not the case. And I remember talking to people, and they're like, oh, you're Native American? Like, that's pretty cool. Like, you're the first Native I've ever met. Like, and I was like, okay, this is a problem. Like, code red, this is a problem. Later to find out, I was like one of the 3 students that identified as Native American at my campus. And when I asked if they had like a Native American center, there was nothing. when I asked if they had any Native faculty, there was nothing. I asked for volunteer opportunities within Native communities. There was nothing. And I was shocked. There's no other way I can describe it but shocked. And I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I'm the only Native here. And so I ended up applying for a program called Native Americans into Medicine, which is actually through the University of Minnesota Duluth. It's like I hit a pot of gold. Like, I finally found Native individuals who are interested in medicine, and I found this community that I longed for. I could actually stay at the University of Minnesota Rochester, but I'd also be part of a mentoring program.
We could talk forever, I think. You and I could.
The founder of this program is Dr. Mary Owen, who's a Klinglet physician. So for me, that was super inspiring.
You are not alone in your need to be connected to your community. So many students come from far away. Even if you're going to a local school, you're still not in your community for the most part, except for our tribal colleges, right? So that's number one, that connectedness. It has to be there. We are not individually driven, we're community driven. The statistics say that 1 in 3 of us is living in poverty. I would say that's probably more like 1 in 2. So that impacts the students who are coming to us. Like me, I was raised in 4 different trailer courts, 10 different homes. And also, most of us are first generation. Our parents don't know how to guide us through this system. So we have to supply those resources that are the norm for 80% of the kids. 80% of kids in medical school come from families that have doctors or other highly educated folks in their families, right? So we have to provide the books. We have to help people remember how to study, given the environment of medical school, that it is that fire hose of information. You don't have to be brilliant, but you have to be able to organize quickly and take in tons of information. So when students aren't ready, we have to be able to help them do that. Students aren't always able to afford everything, even though you have these financial aid packages. More students in Native communities come in with debt load that's higher than other students. Native students also often come in wanting to help family members. That's just what you do. I've had medical students, Native medical students, who've worked jobs. One even worked 2 jobs to support family. So making sure that you're covering for the resources that you assume are there but often are not, because our families, our communities are living in much more dire circumstances for the most part. That's a generalization. So community, connectedness, resources that you don't often think of, having a safe place that they can go when they're hearing microaggressions and racism. They need to be able to go and talk with other people who help them so that they don't feel like they're losing their minds, that they're not off base, that what they heard was indeed something that wasn't appropriate. They shouldn't have to deal with it while they're trying to go to medical school or succeed in undergraduate school. Those are some of the key factors.
When I came to UMR, I felt like I was representing a whole community. And because I was representing a whole community, I felt like I needed to be like something like a family medicine doctor or a general surgeon or something that wasn't an orthopedic surgeon, because I felt like an orthopedic surgeon wasn't helping the majority of population.
Yeah, I would argue that if there's any place we really need Natives in the specialty care, because we already know family docs are so nice, and for the most part, and pediatricians, the generalists are not as big a problem, right? But we need to see our faces everywhere. And to help those professions recognize that there are different models for health, right? You're going to bring to orthopedics this emphasis on community as far as healing and some more of our traditional beliefs, right? Respect, honor, humility, all of those.
Yeah, definitely.
Today I will be presenting my capstone, 2 Worlds, Walking the Path of Higher Education as an Indigenous Student and Health. Before I do so, I would also like to do a land acknowledgement, as the University of Minnesota Rochester is located on the homelands of the Dakota, Ho-Chunk, and other Native peoples.
You know, my time at UMR has been different than most people. I don't think people understand exactly who I am and where I come from. Because this is a university centered around future healthcare professions, cultural competency is super important, because not only are you serving people that look like you, but you're serving people that don't look like you. And, you know, healthcare is a system that was not designed for others to succeed. So, you know, essentially, this university is the change for all that. And I think that's why it's so important for the students around me to learn more about who I am, who other people are, who refugees are, who people that are being overlooked are. They gave me the opportunity for my Hopi name to be said at graduation.
Neve Joshmezi Rose Nez. Distinguished capstone.
Not gonna lie, like, I think that's pretty cool. And I think it just means that there's a lot more room for change than I thought here. There was one moment where my chancellor came up to me and was like, "We're gonna miss you. Like, you have done so much for this university that, you know, you're not gonna go unremembered." Like, one thing she asked me was if I was gonna continue to be on the American Indian Advisory Board. She was like, "Cause you jumpstarted this." That's a huge honor to know that I have that impact on people. But also to know that, like, I have left my mark here. I'm gonna be honest, if you would have asked me a couple years ago, maybe even my first year of college, if I would graduate college, if I would make it, I probably would have said no. Like, there are multiple times that I believe that I did not belong here. Maybe I was making the wrong decision going into health. But, like, you know, everything I've done during college has really led me to feel that I belong. And, like, it's so crazy to think that, like, I have a degree. I have something nobody can take away from me. And it's amazing to know that I possess something that, you know, my family couldn't.
So these are our college stories. You've heard from Ruben Quito Stately, Archie Yellow, and me, Neve Nez. We're just three of 100,000 Native students across the country. So our stories don't represent everyone, not by a long shot. But one thing we hope you'll take away is the power of our resilience. We're speaking up when people don't know our stories, or that Native American people even exist. We're overcoming all kinds of barriers to be the first in our families to go to college. And we're finding a way to be successful in two worlds, to stand among our people and to stand in the larger society. We're motivated to make a difference for future generations of Indian people, for all of those who come after us.
You've been listening to Standing in Two Worlds, Native American College Diaries, a documentary from American Public Media. It was produced by Neve Nez, Archie Yellow, and me, Ruben Quito Stately. We worked with producer Sasha Eslanian and editor Stephen Smith. Special thanks to Melissa Olson, Jill Barchet, and Chris Worthington. Mixing by Craig Thorson. Web editor Andy Cruz. Fact checker Betsy Towner Levine. The APM Reports team includes Catherine Winter, Emily Hanford, and Lauren Humper. Support for this program comes from Lumina Foundation, the Spencer Foundation, and the Education Writers Association. This is APM, American Public Media.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.